This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, T-Tote. How goes it today?
Wet.
Yeah. Not as wet as it could be, though.
Oh, no. But it is January, and it's, you know, we haven't had anything, so it's...
I see some snow up there back in Missouri right now. What are they calling for accumulation-wise?
Well,
right
today,
now?
2 to 3 inches here, so...
It's supposed to start within the hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like 10 o'clock?
I mean, what do I know about it? I just play a meteorologist on the radio.
Yeah.
But I can't believe we're going to get 3 inches of accumulation. It was 60 degrees the other day.
Well,
it's still too warm out now, it feels like.
I think so.
It's 38 right now. Yeah. So yeah.
It did not feel that cold coming in this morning. So
I don't know. I don't know.
It can change. Yeah.
Anything below 70 is cold to me. Yeah. Give me 70 degrees plus. I like warm weather. I'm sitting here in a sweatshirt, for goodness sake. You know, I used to never wear sweatshirts.
It's January.
I don't know. Whatever.
The weather, much like high school basketball, can turn on a dime. We saw it last night at Litchfield with Hillsborough and Litchfield. Litchfield gets up 18-3 after one quarter. Hillsborough comes back, outscores them 20-3 in the second quarter. Litchfield then a strong third quarter, only to see Hillsborough come back, put up 27 points in the fourth quarter, and they win the ball game going away last night. But fellas, it was one of the strangest, most distinct games of runs in quarter-to-quarter that I've ever seen. Like, if you would have watched just the first and third quarters, you would have thought, oh, Litchfield won that game by 15 points. Mm-hmm. If you watched just the second and the fourth quarters, you think, well, Hillsborough probably won by 25. It was just odd.
Well, and, you know, I was following along on Twitter while I was at Nokomis, and, you know, I mean, from them going from scoring 30 points in the first three quarters to scoring 27 in the fourth is pretty impressive. Yeah. You know, almost doubling your point total from the previous three.
And I don't know how many high school games I've seen over the years, but I'm pretty sure I've never seen a high school team that had two quarters of single digits and then two quarters of 20 points plus. I've never seen that.
Once in a while, I've seen a game where a team has scored single digits the first three quarters and then has doubled their output or tripled their output in the fourth quarter. You know, that doesn't happen very often.
Well, and usually they don't win.
And they That's true. They don't win. So there's a consistency there, yes.
Typical Litchfield Hillsborough, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, Litchfield kind of had looks on their faces as the game was winding down. They kept looking up at the scoreboard. Like, that can't be right. Like, this didn't just happen, but it did. And for Hillsborough, Kyle, you've seen them a few more times than I have this year, but their schedule's tough, but their team is tough. They're just gritty.
Yeah, and they're young, and sometimes that's a good thing. You know, they don't, you know, if you're young, you're not always, you don't always know that you're supposed to lose. Mm-hmm. Very quick, too, with Donovan Moore and Drake Payton up top, and they just, you know, have a lot of versatile kids, and they do a good job.
And well, they're really exact opposite, sorry, David, of last year where it was kind of a Dylan Miller show.
Well, and, like, you got Stephen Finsky, who's playing probably the four or the five now, and the last couple of years he's been a two. I mean, he's a fantastic shooter. Now he's playing a post position because he's one of the bigger guys on their team. There's such a difference. I mean, there's so many guards on this team this year compared to the previous years.
Yeah, and that's not a knock against Kobe or Cody Kulk or
any of those guys.
But, you know, like I said, it's definitely kind of a youth movement going up. And they're, you know, like I said, they are a little bit more battle-tested. You know, they've played some decent teams in that Williamsville tournament. You know, they've...
With that Kaskaskian Classic and Carlisle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Saw some good teams there. And they have a really good record against teams in the Litchfield Invitational. Mm-hmm. I mean, they beat Greenville, who's in their pool. They beat Taylorville, who was the sixth seed. And now they beat Litchfield, who was the, seventh seed?
Seventh seed, yep.
Yeah, so...
Well, and they're going to play... they're in the same pool as top-seeded Civic Memorial. And actually, you remember last year, they were in the same pool as them as well. And last year they didn't have Dylan Miller at the Litchfield tournament, so a lot of those guys this year got playing time during that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Civic Memorial had Lawrence last year and don't this year, which still they're a very talented team. Nokomis took them to two points opening game of the season. So, you know, anything can happen there. You know, like I said, Hillsborough already beat Greenville, you know, if they could – pull an upset against Civic Memorial, they could do some damage in the tournament.
In a game like last night, for a team like Hillsborough that is so young, that's just pure confidence right there. I mean, when they get into that Invitational, they're going to be able to draw back, because it's going to be on the same floor, draw back to those experiences. Like, guys, we can do this. I mean, we were down 15 points. There's a lot of ball game left. So we'll see what happens with the Toppers moving forward. Nokomis, the 10 seed in that Invitational, and we're post-Christmas now. And Terry, I saw Nokomis on Tuesday. You and Kay Hirsch saw him last night. They look like Nokomis always looks in early January to me.
Pretty much. They seem to have righted the ship, although I don't think the ship was listing to begin with, to be honest with you. They just had played some extremely difficult competition early on, which is normal for Nokomis, and really battle tests them as they get into, you know, the rest of the regular season. And Nokomis rarely has a home game in January.
Yeah.
But here they've had two this last week, and that's just, it's just so odd, because they usually play tournaments out the, you know, they've got the Morseville tournament, they got the Litchfield tournament, and they a lot of times don't have any home games, or not many anyway. So,
and they still had a better record to start the season this year than they did last year, because last year I think they lost their first eight games.
They were one and eight.
Okay.
They won their final game before the Christmas break.
And last year, obviously, they went to the sectional championship, so this year.
Yeah, over the last 4 years, their winning percentage before January 1st is about 40%, and their winning percentage after is 80%.
Wow.
And I would say what? Before Christmas, the teams they're playing in terms of class probably average close to 3A.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they play Granite City, Triad, Civic Memorial, and Taylorville in that tournament. They also play a really good Metro East Lutheran team, which is, you know, obviously a smaller school, but a very talented one that's in their conference now. So,
had they already played them this year, Metro East?
Yeah, they played them. They ended up losing by quite a bit, but that was kind of in that streak where they were having some trouble.
Plus, Metro East was just coming off their own tournament win.
Exactly. You know, so, I mean, you know, we'll see how that goes again this because they'll play again at the Litchfield Invitational. So I would guess that it probably won't be as wide of a gap of a score as it was the first time the two teams met.
Well, they won that Litchfield Invitational a few years ago, Nokomis did, kind of in surprise fashion to a lot of folks. Not necessarily people who have been around the program, but, you know, just from the outside.
I'm never shocked when Nokomis wins anything.
Yeah. No. And Kyle, you wrote an article for the Journal News about kind of the phenomenon that is Nokomis basketball after January 1st, and it really has kind of developed a life of its own, or quite the mystique of, I don't know if the heat actually does get turned up in the gym, if they really do run their guts out during the holiday break. I don't know. You do.
Like I said, it really just, you know, like I was just going off statistical evidence on that. You know, it's shown. I mean, their winning percentage is about 14 points higher over the course of Kimbrough's career. You know, of, like I said, there's outliers. You know, they participated in the Vandalia tournament a few times. Three of those times were in their bottom three winning percentages under Kimbrough. But that's also at the start of his career. So you never know if that had something. And also there was one of the best seasons that Nokomis has had. They made it to state in, I believe, 85. They played in the Vandalia tournament then too, so you never know. I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule, but Nokomis definitely plays better, and it's hard telling whether other teams might do this too. You know, I mean, I think teams have a tendency to either go up or go down. You know, the longer they've played together, you know, they'll either adjust to what their coach wants them to do, or they won't have as much success. And I think more often than not, Nokomis adjusts.
And I think that narrative of, you know, the heat up in the gym and the running, it sounds good and it's easy, but that's not it.
No.
I mean, let's be honest. They've got a Hall of Fame coach who for two and a half weeks gets to just practice. And that's about as long of just a straight practice time. You barely get that to start the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to have just 2 weeks where you can just go in and practice and fundamentally improve these kids, I mean, the proof is in the success that they have after the break, so to speak.
And I think it speaks volumes to just the Nokomis program in general. You know, I mean, they run sort of the same system, I believe, in junior high that they run in high school. I mean, there's a continuity throughout there. So these kids are ready to play. The ones that choose to play varsity basketball or, you know, high school basketball, they're ready to step in and play. That's why they've had so much success in the JV ranks and the freshman ranks. That's why they have so much success at the varsity level, too.
Yeah, by the time you get to high school in Nokomis, there's no secret to what's expected of you.
No. You know what you're getting yourself into, I think.
And I think, you know, last night at the Litchfield-Hillsborough game, Litchfield was up 18-3 after the first quarter. In the back of my mind, I thought, this game's not over. Last night at Nokomis, Nokomis is up by a pretty healthy margin in the first quarter. And I imagine a lot of people thought, this game's over.
You know, it's tough for Lincolnwood missing Brian Graham. He's a very key part to, you know, whenever I've seen Lincolnwood earlier this year, what they succeed the most at is causing turnovers in transition game, which, you know, Nokomis has done for years. But without, you know, whenever, as Matt Milberg said, whenever you lose your point guard, you lose some of those easy buckets, and it's a little bit tougher. After the first quarter, I didn't necessarily think the game was over. By the second quarter, whenever, you know, they were still down by quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't give Nokomis that many opportunities. Yeah. So,
I mean, on Nokomis' home floor, they do, when they get up early, very rarely do they not win.
Well, and whenever you hold a team to 16 points and through three quarters, you know, I mean, Lincolnwood scored the first basket of the third quarter and didn't score again until almost midway through the fourth quarter. Mm. So, I mean, you know, over 13 minutes, I believe.
That probably almost put a smile on Coach Kimbrough's face.
No.
I think some of those players were probably tired of practicing.
Yeah, but, you know, and Lincolnwood's got a good team, and they're better than the score indicated last night. But, you know, it's like you said, part of it is, you know, there's a mental factor to it. I mean,
there's a lot of mental factors for teams that play against Nokomis.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you know, it's just you've got a program that's terrific, and people are freaked out.
You're down 10 when you get off the bus.
When you get off the bus, absolutely.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, Nokomis scored their 20th point early in the first or early in the second quarter on a three by Detmers. Lincolnwood didn't score their 20th point until the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just hard to. And the thing is, Nokomis played so well in a lot of facets of the game. I mean, like Detmers was hitting from three. You know, Sobel was going inside and playing extremely well under there, getting offensive rebounds. And then Herb Street has a tendency to just drive the lane and throw up a little loop shot and make that, which he did last year and won the game for. So, you know, I mean, everything really clicked for them. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be hitting their stride, which they'll need to. They have a tough, you know, Morrisonville tournament is a lot tougher this year than it has been in the past with the addition of Athens. So, you know, I mean, they're going to need that over the – because I think they play six games in 8 days.
Yeah.
So, you know,
they're going from straight practice over the holidays to, like, not practicing for a while here coming up.
Yeah, it'll be game after game after game because they'll play, you know, almost every day at Morrisonville and then, you know, a bunch at Litchfield, too.
I will try my best to refer to it as the Mohawk Classic. I will do my best, but we all know what it really is. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday.
You don't want to do
it. I didn't do it.
The Morrisonville people
hate it.
Very angry at you.
Hey, someone's got to be angry at me. We need a break. We're back in a moment. Thank you, T-Tote. A week from today, a couple of outstanding in-season tournaments get underway. The 49th annual Litchfield Invitational and the 98th annual Macoupin County Tournament, that being played at Southwestern High School this year.
Also, another great tournament, the Highland Girls Invitational Tournament, a miniature state tournament.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, terrific tournament.
As far as the girls goes, I mean, regionals just a few weeks away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, they'll have the seating meetings on the 27th, I think, of this month, so.
Of course, the regional is a little further away for the Litchfield girls than everyone else, as they're going 3A this year. And
1A, 2A regionals are a few weeks away. 3A regionals are a week further than that.
And, you know, from Litchfield's perspective, they're probably thinking, really? This year we're 3A? The last few years, the club we had, not 3A. This year, 3A.
Yeah, you know, you just have to kind of take the good with the bad. You know, I mean, you know, the reason they're 3A is because, you know, the co-op with Lincolnwood, they're about five kids over. But
five.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I mean,
they couldn't lose some transcripts.
Abby Brockmeyer is one of the players that comes over from Lincolnwood, and you know, they would have an okay, a good team without Abby, but you know, she is a big part of their team. So I don't think they would choose to lose Abby and play in 2A.
No, I agree.
Right. I think the other night against Greenville, Abby and Anna Tomac had all the points at halftime. Those two for Litchfield.
Yeah. And Anna Tomac and Abby Frericks have both come on really, really strongly for Litchfield this year and kind of stepped up in their senior year. And they've turned into a really good team. So, you know, like I said, 3A is tough. So, but, you know.
It just sounds weird.
It does sound weird. But, you know, it sounded weird to have you know, Hillsborough in 2A in track and you know, 3A in volleyball. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, it's whenever you have teams like Litchfield and Hillsborough that are kind of lying right on the cusp of you know, different classes, you know, you're just going to have to deal with it. So,
one of those things.
They're not going to play each other three times this year either, like they had the last few years.
Yeah, so, which is almost too bad because those are fun games to watch usually. I mean, you know, the first meeting between Litchfield and Hillsborough was a good game. They'll meet later in the season, which Hillsborough has like a murderous two-game stretch there with Southwestern and Litchfield. But you know, they're both games that are at home, and the Toppers, Lady Toppers, have really played a good schedule this year too. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, absolutely,
and they'll be at that Highland tournament that Terry mentioned too. So,
they'll get their medal tested at Highland.
So. Absolutely,
but that's why you go to Highland and play in the tournament there. Nokomis is there as well. So.
Yep, absolutely, and you know, both teams have had some success in their area in the past. So. You know, it's a good opportunity for them to see some different competitions, some really good competitions. So.
And I like the fact that you're just not scared. Let's go play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I like that attitude. I just think it's great. You know, we don't care who you throw out there. We're going to go play.
Serves them well in the postseason.
Oh, yeah. Let's go play basketball. So that's good.
That's what they're going to do at Litchfield a week from today at the 49th Litchfield Invitational. Lots of quality teams in this field once again, as this has really turned into a dynamic tournament in terms of the nice mix of the quality 1A and 2A teams. And this year is no different. The top two seeds, CM and Metro East Lutheran, that's an outstanding front liner for the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a good group of teams there. You know, what I really like about the tournament is that, especially with the addition of Taylorville and Mount Zion, it kind of blends a mix of the Metro East and the South Central Conference and then a couple teams from up north, too. So it's just a really good mix of the tournament.
I've thought for a long time Litchfield's tournament has been one of the better in-season tournaments, you know, middle-of-the-season tournaments in the state, because they just draw from all around.
And they set it up so nice.
They do.
With the pool play feeding in to the bracket play, like – the Metro East Thanksgiving tournament is just like a cluster of teams and brackets going every which way. But this thing is organized. Like, I can look at this and like, I know what's happening here.
With 12 teams, you know, you almost got to have it in, you know, 12 teams is, you know, about right, you know, because you can break it down into, I mean, it took me a little bit to get adjusted to it. But, you know, like I said, with the 12 teams, it really breaks down pretty well. And you kind of know where most teams stand. There's going to be upsets and there's going to be things like that. But for the most part, you can kind of, once it all gets said and done, you kind of look at it and go, yeah, that makes sense. So,
David, as you look at it, we got four pools.
Four pools, yes. Pool A features top-seeded Civic Memorial out of Bethalto, as well as a couple South Central Conference teams with Greenville Comets at 8 and Hillsborough at 9. Pool B is second-seeded Metro East Lutheran, followed by 7th-seeded Litchfield and 10th-seeded Nokomis. Pool C is third-seeded Pena, sixth-seeded Taylorville, and number 11, Lebanon. And then Pool D features fourth-seeded Roxana, fifth-seeded Mount Zion, and 12th-seeded East Dalton Wood River. Any surprises seeding-wise, you think? I was honestly a little surprised Hillsborough was ninth, strictly because they had beaten some of the other opponents in this. Like, they beat Greenville already once this season, and they're behind them. They also beat Taylorville, and they're behind them. I was also surprised Taylorville was sixth. I thought they would slide a little bit further.
I think you look at the quality of the competition. In regards to Taylorville, I mean, they lost to Mount Zion twice in there. I mean, I think four of their six losses or five losses are against teams in this tournament. So, you know, I think they lost to Civic Memorial was one of the other ones. I'm not sure. And Hillsborough was the fourth one. So, you know, they've lost to a pretty good, I mean, but they've won a lot of other games in their tournament, or, you know, in their Christmas tournament that they had, and at the Nakoma's, at the Stovetop Stuffing Classic at the start of the year. So I thought Hillsborough could have possibly been ranked a little higher, but it's hard to tell. I'm not sure how high you go with them. Mm-hmm. And at the very worst, you switch them in Greenville because they had beaten Greenville, yeah, and they're still in the same bracket.
Right. Right.
So,
well, I honestly thought Hillsborough might be six, like in Taylorville dropping down to.
If you look at Hillsborough's record, overall record, mm-hmm, though, I imagine that scared some people because at the time of the seeding, I think they were like 4-8 or 5-8 or something like
that. They're 5-8 now.
5-8 now. So I think they were like 4-7 or, you know, okay. I mean, they hadn't really. You know, they had beaten some teams in the tournament, but I'm not sure. Sometimes I think if they have a losing record, I think you're a little bit more afraid to rank them so high.
Okay.
And it's a coach's vote, and, you know, I think that the schools are spread out enough, you know, across a couple different areas where there's a good chance that, you know, some of the schools maybe didn't see or know as much about some of the other schools. So, you know, the seeding's always.
Well, and it's just you know, looking at the thing, it's a tough tournament to seed.
It is.
I mean, mm-hmm, you know, Pena's got some good wins, but were beaten by Nokomis, you know, and Nokomis at the time, you know, didn't have that many wins, you know, but they had beat Pena. So, you know, it's just, I think there's a lot of parity in it, and, mm-hmm, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see any of the top 10 teams beat one another.
Let me ask you, are you surprised Nokomis was 10th based strictly on reputation and past success at this tournament?
No.
I know their record may not be great this year, but I mean, they've done so well in this tournament and they had the reputation they have.
Yeah.
That I figured maybe coaches would be a little bit more aware of how
good
they are.
There's a possibility that Steve Kimbrough voted him 12th.
Okay.
Or 15th. You know, I remember at the press conference after they beat Warrensburg Latham at state, you know, the top team in the state. And it's like, yeah, we could have done some things better. it's
why he is who he is.
Exactly.
Why the Comets is what they are.
You know, he never, there's always something better that they can do and always something that they can improve on. So, you know, humble is a good word for it. So,
yeah, Nokomis will never suffer from overconfidence.
No. Well, they don't have overconfidence. They have a sense of that we're pretty sure we're going to win going out, but, you know, they're never necessarily satisfied with, mm-hmm, with the end result. They're always pushing to do a little bit better.
Don't take teams for granted.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment. So a week from today, the Litchfield Invitational and the Macoupin County Tournament both will tip off. We touched on the 49th annual Litchfield Invitational. 49 years. That's a long time to have a tournament. 98 years is a really long time to have a tournament.
It's double.
Twice as
long.
I don't do math.
Looks like it's 37th for the girls, according to the PieSawBirds.net. 98th for the boys, 37th for the girls, Macoupin.
That's still a long time.
It's still a long time, yeah.
So on the boys' side, it's being played at Southwestern High School this year. The boys' seedings are out.
They are. Gillespie, the top seed. PieSaw Southwestern, number 2. North Mac, 3. Carlinville, 4. Bunker Hill, 5. Mount Olive, 6. And Staunton, 7. I don't think there's any surprise there.
No, and I think like we saw at Carlinville with the boys' tournament, the boys' side of the Macoupin County tournament going to be a better field than we've seen the last number of years.
Yeah.
Southwestern and Gillespie, obviously very good. North Mac, much improved. And we've seen Carmelville and Bunker Hill. They've had a couple of good battles already
this year. Sure they have. I think this is going to be a pretty good tournament, a tournament where we're not going to have many blowouts, to be honest with you.
Mount Olive is a team. The record doesn't show it, but they are much improved from a year ago.
Yeah.
They've been in a lot of different ball games this year.
And Staunton's a lot better now than they were on the first broadcast we had with them. So,
you know, it just takes a while sometimes to get things rolling. So.
They got a new head coach this year, so.
It takes a while. It does take a while.
So it's no bracketed play at the Macoupin County Tournament, obviously. So on the girls' side, to the surprise of probably the easiest vote in the history of tournament voting when it came to the top seed for the girls' Macoupin County Tournament.
It was Southwestern.
It was.
Southwestern.
How about that?
Number two being Mount Olive. Number three is Gillespie. Those two probably could have flipped and nobody would have argued. But
right.
Mount Olive 2, Gillespie 3. Carlinville 4, North Mac 5, Bunker Hill 6, and Staunton 7.
It would obviously be a great shock to the civilized world if Southwestern is not playing for that girls' championship. But
On their home floor.
Yeah. But that Mount Olive-Gillespie pool game, what an intriguing ball game that will be, because Gillespie, just scrappy, is all get out. And Mount Olive, so much talent, but not much depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only dress 8 players, I think, and only play really 7 of them. So yeah,
No JV team.
So you hope that nobody goes down with an injury. You hope that anyway, but if someone goes down with an injury, then I mean they're down to really just 6 players.
It's usually hard to play Gillespie without getting in some sort of foul trouble, just by the nature of which they play.
Yeah.
They get you in foul trouble. Yeah.
That Mount Olive-Gillespie game for the girls, that'll be played on the 21st at 8 p.m. So
that would be a quote-unquote championship semifinal if it was a bracket.
Yeah, if it was a bracketed tournament, yeah. So.
Assuming both teams have won out to that point.
Right. Yeah. That's what we do, though. We assume.
Yeah. We can.
We get to do that.
Coaches don't. Players don't.
Exactly right.
Broadcasters, sports writers get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First game for each side.
We may not want to admit it, but we do.
I admit it all the time.
Yeah.
The boys, Southwestern Staunton kicks off the tournament on next Saturday at 4:30. The kicking off the tournament altogether will be Mount Olive against Staunton girls, and that's at noon next Saturday.
Always a fun week of basketball, and we talked about the Macoupin tournament, we talked about the Litchfield tournament. Terry always talks about the Highland tournament being that mini state tournament, and really no different this year.
No. Of course, a couple of area teams in the tournament, as we mentioned. Hillsborough taking on Nashville in the first round. That's going to be played next Saturday at 7 p.m. Nokomis taking on Highland next Saturday at 4. Other teams in the tournament, Trial take on Carlinville, O'Fallon will play Modern Day, T-Town will play Altoff Catholic, I assume it's Breeze Central taking on Oakville, just list Central here, Belleville West taking on Taylorville, and Salem taking on Westland, so yeah, very,
of course,
very brutal.
Of course you have Breeze tournament. Central and Hillsborough 1-2 in the poll, so.
Yeah.
And I was just looking ahead to a potential Breeze Central Hillsborough championship game there and how much fun that would be.
Well, I tell you what, that would be fun, but you can't look ahead in that tournament.
No.
I'm telling you, about the time you look ahead, you get your butt kicked.
And they play Nashville.
Nashville.
Who, if you look through the state tournament programs over the last several years, you'll see their name a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah. Breeze Central and Hillsborough are 1-2 in the polls. Polls are stupid. I hate
they
polls.
Are. Yes.
You know,
they're done for the fans.
I think the biggest thing is, like, if you want to put how much stock is in the polls, I'm allowed to vote in them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do you?
Even though I'm no, because I think they're stupid.
Yeah.
And I will vote whenever they do the Allstate, the Associated Press does an Allstate team. I'm not an Associated Press member, but I'm still allowed to vote. I do the Allstate teams because I feel like there's kids from our coverage area. If I feel like there's kids from our coverage area that should be represented. As far as the polls go, I have not seen Breeze Central play. I can look at a list of teams and see who they beaten, and that, you know, I've seen Hillsborough play several times, so I have a fairly good grasp on where they're at. But I don't know where most other teams are at. You know, I hate polls.
Breeze Central, one of those historic kind of girls' powers. But we were talking about the seeding of the Litchfield tournament, like with coaches voting and not necessarily seeing all the teams. that is what the state polls are in terms of rankings, where you've got guys up in the northern part of the state voting for teams down, you know, in the southern part of the state that they've never seen, probably wouldn't even know how to get to.
Yeah, they basically, you know, a lot of time they base it off the recommendations and the information provided by the other writers, which, you know, I mean, those are the guys that see those teams play, and that's great. But, you know, like I said, it's just not for me. You know, if Hillsboro, you know, gets beat by anybody short of Bree Central, those teams, you know, cry.
Yeah.
We upset, you know, I mean, you know, it's a huge upset for them, when in reality, I mean, like, Hillsboro lost to Athens in a close game at the Riverton tournament, and Athens is a really good team. I don't know if they're ranked or where they're ranked or whatever, but I mean,
in the Super last year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're a good team against Hillsboro, so you know, I don't see how you can, you know, put Athens at number two now because they beat Hillsboro, but I don't see why they're not number two because they beat Hillsboro.
I think Athens is ranked. They're too good not to be ranked.
They should be probably, but like I said, it doesn't really matter, you know. Yeah.
Of course, they were seeded fifth in that tournament, I think, in that Riverton tournament. Athens girls were.
They were down by 20 points in their semifinal game at halftime and came back and won.
Plenty of game left.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back in a moment. And we are back here on Sports Saturday. Thank you very much, T-Tote. And the Illini, I mean, they are a mess. But I was looking at it the other day. Providence is unbeaten, I believe, and ranked in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois had them beat. All you got to do is make a putback dunk, and you win at Providence.
Yeah.
They had Iowa State beat on a neutral floor, who I believe is undefeated, or maybe just one loss, and ranked in the top 10 of the country. So for as bad as Illinois has been, as awful as they were at Michigan State the other night, they're 0-3 in the Big Ten, injuries all over the place.
Oh yeah,
they should have beat two top 10 teams. Should have. Not could have. Should have. But they didn't.
And that's
why they're frustrated.
That's why not only are the fans frustrated, but the players are frustrated. Coach Gross is frustrated. And, you know, it's just something you have to work through. Every team has injuries, but the Illini the last couple of 3 years have had a plethora of injuries to key people.
Mm-hmm. Key people.
Key
exactly.
People. That's the key there. That's the whole problem right
and
there.
And this was supposed to be such a transition year for them, too, because I think this was the first year where all of Gross's guys were there. Where it was all Gross's guys, with the exception of Tracy Abrams, who was going to be like a fifth-year senior.
Yeah, then they all got hurt.
They all get hurt. And, you know, when you don't have a presence inside, you struggle rebounding, which, you know, Illinois from the get-go has struggled rebounding all year long. And, you know, their shot selection sometimes just puzzles me.
That goes beyond.
And, you know, and now that you've got the 30-second clock,
yeah.
5 seconds less to work with, sometimes they piddle around down to, you know, the clock gets down to 3 seconds, and they decide to run a play, and I'm going, what's going on here, guys?
Yeah.
Can't you see the clock? So, I don't know.
The injuries have been what they've been, but that being said, should John Gross be concerned about his job status at the end of the year?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think so, but he's a major college basketball coach who isn't winning, and the AD who hired him has gotten fired, so he's probably a little nervous, or at least on alert.
I'm sure they'll hire an interim coach.
You know, yes. And Illinois has such a fine track record with their hiring process that I'm sure they'll be just fine. I like John Gross.
I think
he's a really good basketball coach who has just had an unfortunate string of bad luck.
And I like the style of play that John Gross brings to Illinois. I do. I like that style. But the injuries have just really racked the Illini the last couple of 3 years, and they've not been able to get on track. And, you know, you go from the preseason, you go from the non-conference games into the conference games, it's night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's black and blue once you get into the Big Ten.
I think it's really kind of hurt his recruiting, too. Not to say he's gotten bad recruits, because obviously the recruits that he's gotten right now are still really good, but, like, for the class coming in next year and the year after that, they're probably looking at the Illini being like, well, yeah, but they're a middle of the Big Ten Conference team. Why would I want to go there?
But what an opportunity, though. But what an opportunity. Yeah.
So. Sometimes struggling is not the worst thing in the world.
This is true.
Just got to stay healthy.
Yeah. Staying healthy is the name of the game.
Wasn't it, I guess, maybe not funny to watch, but earlier this week, the number one and two teams in the nation squared off in Kansas and Oklahoma, went to triple overtime, and both coaches were former Illini coaches.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lon Kruger and Bill Self.
That's right.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
So remember, if you've coached the Illini and you lost your job, you can always find a place in the Big 12. three of them are there right now. Either by choice or get stuck there.
Yeah, Lon Kruger and Bill Self, they both left on their own.
Yeah. Bruce Weber did not.
No. No, he did not.
I only follow North Dakota State now, so. Yeah.
Yes. Dylan. And how about Dylan Miller starting? Still starting?
Dylan Miller starting. Yes. He's been playing. He's playing about the same amount of minutes that he was before, you know, between, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. But they seem to like his defense.
Don't want to overexpose him.
Yeah, you know, and they got a lot of young players on their team. They play Oral Roberts tonight, I believe, on a game on ESPN3.
Okay. I was amazed.
El Trece.
Let's
how much Dylan
Let's
Miller has bulked up.
Oh, yeah.
Big kid.
Big.
I mean, he's also in midseason form in his beard game, too.
Yeah. So, saw that.
But he had 19 points the other day against Our Lady of Perpetual Sorrow.
That sounds like a George Carlin routine.
But, no, he had 19 points. I think it was, like, Northwoods College, which is you know, a lower-level school. But still, you know, they like what they see there.
Yep.
He's a part of a really good class that they brought in with some guard from San Diego named Kai Cabellas. He seems to be enjoying it and seems to be making an impact. And good things are, like I said, North Dakota State plays out of the Summit League, so they will be at Western Illinois on the 23rd. So I believe my family and I will be going down there and getting some more pictures of the big guy playing down there. So
since you've been following them, can you tell us, are we going to get to see Dylan Miller in the NCAA tournament?
I would hope. I think they'll have a hard road to go. The Summit League, their standings, I looked at them the other night, and all but two teams were over 500.
Ooh.
So, I mean, they have a chance. I mean, Summit League is one of those leagues that you pretty much have to win the tournament to get in.
Yep.
There. But, you know, they've made the tournament three times in the last 7 years, I believe.
They won a game.
Yeah, beat Oklahoma. So, I wouldn't – their coach, Dave Richmond's has the fourth best winning percentage amongst coaches under 35 or under 40 or something like that. I think Dylan will play in the NCAA tournament before his college career is over. I don't know if North Dakota State will make it this year or not. I hope so.
And Summit League is one of those great mid-major basketball conferences where it's just year in, year out, they've got quality teams, multiple quality teams.
Yeah, they've turned into a really good, you know, smaller conference. So South Dakota State, Ooey Pooey.
I'm familiar with Ooey Pooey.
Western, you know, Western had a big win over Wisconsin earlier this year. So.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been fun following along with them, watching them online and such. So.
I wonder if that's what made Bo Ryan retire.
The Western
losing
loss?
To Western, like, all right, that's it for me. Now I gotta go. Losing to Duke is one thing. Losing to Western
at
is
home,
just no good.
Too.
At home,
yeah,
that's right. No Frank the Tank. Sports Saturday needs one more break. We're back in a moment.
The Litchfield Lady Panthers begin play in the Lady Spartan North Green Tournament.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
They play West Central JV team.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, a couple JV teams in there, but you know there's some. You know, they've had some success in that tournament. Last year they lost to Carrollton, I believe, in the title game, which is not a bad loss for them at all. But, you know, they get to see a bunch of different teams over there, so it's a good opportunity for them.
Kyle Herschelman from the Journal News joining us here in studio this morning on Sports Saturday. And, Kyle, I know Litchfield Wrestling has a lot going on.
Yeah,
right now.
Litchfield Wrestling is at the Princeton Invitational, which you talk about the Highland Tournament being like a mini state tournament. You know, there's a lot of truth to that at Princeton. Going into today's matches, they still have 9 alive out of the 11. Bailey Powell, Cameron Lee, Kyle Twitty, Victor Kelleher, and Doug Carlisle were all in the quarterfinals for the Panthers. So, plus there's several, the rest of the guys are in wrestlebacks. So they still have a shot to bring home a medal, too. Litchfield's had an extremely good year. They finished 13th out of a big tournament in Danville out of 38 teams. So
Brian Lee has built himself quite the program.
Yeah, they just keep churning out kids. And, you know, Bailey Powell is a sophomore, been very good at 108 pounds. I think it's 108 or 112. Can't always remember.
Is there a Davidson on the team?
There is a Davidson on the team. Colin is a sophomore. He's in the wrestle backs. He was state runner up last year. He'll be a force this year as well.
Always a Davidson on the wrestling
team. And I'm sure it's a good experience for Brian this year. Cameron Lee is his son, freshman wrestling at 113. So and has done really well so far. He's in the quarterfinals too. So
and Litchfield wrestling, not afraid to go anywhere. And as far as competition is concerned, I mean, they have this fearless attitude as well.
Yeah, they'll go
and it's suited them well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're not scared of anybody. And you know, they'll go to these big tournaments like Princeton and
Porta
and this Danville tournament, and then they'll have their own tournament here at the end of the year, right before regionals. And also, Jake Petrie's done a good job coming in his first year for Hillsboro. Jake Heffley, another freshman that's been coming up, beat a state-ranked kid the other day at one of his matches. You know, the Toppers have won a few matches. There's been kind of a revolving, you know, some lack of continuity in their coaching. They had Brad Young gave it up, Don Van Giesen took over, and then he quit because he was becoming the assistant principal at the junior high. So, but Jake has been around. He was a wrestler for Carlinville. You know, and wrestled for SIUE. So, you know, he's been around the team anyway. He was an assistant coach. But it's been a good program for them, too.
And a reminder, the Mont Olive Wrestling Tournament underway right now.
Which is where Hillsboro's at.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
So,
what's a Hillsboro-Litchfield wrestling match like?
It's fun. Yeah, it's coming up on the 22nd. So it's at Hillsboro this year. Mont Olive is also there. Yeah, I encourage everyone to come out. I will buy you a bag of popcorn.
Hey.
So just come up and find me. Whoa. I will be there. So, like I said, Friday the 22nd, I think, which is Litchfield hardly ever gets to host it because that's during the Litchfield Invitational. Yeah. So it makes it tough for them. But like I said, and then you have with Mont Olive thrown in there too, with Coach Ryan, who has started the program and has been there for a thousand years. So
another program, yeah,
you know, and they have a lot of good wrestlers over there too. But like I said, anybody that wants to come out and go to that match, I will buy you popcorn.
There you go.
So
any now here. Are there any time restraints here, or is this an all-day invitation for them, or they gotta be there, like, they got a two-minute window to get there?
No,
and get their popcorn.
No, if they're there during the match and okay. The popcorn, I'm gonna assume they have. I think they have I don't usually eat concessions, you know, just because I'm poor. But
why are you gonna buy popcorn for everyone else?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know.
Doing his part.
I'm gonna write it off as a company expense.
There you go.
So okay. We'll do that.
I was disappointed. Well,
I'd like to be at that meeting.
Yeah.
you did what? You bought what?
How much popcorn?
It's hard to fire your son-in-law. So
not impossible, but hard.
Yeah, not
impossible, but hard.
I'm sure.
I went to a game at Bunker Hill the other day. They had no popcorn. I was devastated.
Mm. Huh?
No popcorn. It was varsity only.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't make any popcorn. But
okay.
I was not happy.
My goal is to rank have a comprehensive database of the
popcorn.
The popcorn at the games. Yeah, I think
I've wanted to do that for a while myself. Just unofficially thinking through my mind, Litchfield has some outstanding popcorn.
Yeah, Litchfield does good.
It's really good.
Yeah, well, like I said, we'll have to, this will be have to be a joint effort between the Journal News and WSMI. So.
That's right, the hard-hitting
yeah.
stuff that people want to know.
Exactly.
Well, and once we start, of course, TMZ will follow.
Well, naturally.
Absolutely.
A natural progression there.
Oh, of course.
Let me ask you this. Does the Nokomis popcorn, is that the locally grown popcorn from Nokomis?
You know, that is a good question, and I don't know the answer to that.
I'm not sure. They have red bags, which I think is interesting, from CPS. Like I said, I did not partake in the popcorn. I don't like things on my hands always. So usually
you don't want to get your camera all buttery.
Yeah, exactly.
That wouldn't be good.
Exactly.
And like we're talking. So to chew popcorn and talk at the same time. We struggle talking at times. So
I generally will save my popcorn for a post-game snack. Yeah. It's generally how I do it. I learned my lesson years ago.
Yeah. That's a good method.
But how many times, Tim, do people come up to us, you know, right before the game starts, you want popcorn?
Right.
And we appreciate the fact that they're concerned, but no.
Well, yes, but not right now.
But not right now.
Yeah, I'm on the sidelines with a camera and a notebook, so I'm not sure I got enough hands.
That could be tough. So. Your popcorn winds up on the floor. Exactly. The game's delayed. What's going on down there?
Just not a good situation.
But yes, for my money, Litchfield's popcorn is about as good as I encounter around the basketball scene. Now, of course, you get into football, it's all about the pork burger.
Yep, sure.
Oh. Which I never understand why the pork burger doesn't transition to the gym for high school basketball.
It makes it to the field for baseball.
It does, but what?
Grills.
You can have a grill outside.
Yeah, but it's harder.
Who wants to?
Nobody really wants to have the smoke in the gym, you know. So
we don't got
to
have the doors open. Close them.